stand and fight, but not alone.
Hello, this is Reality Sandwich on KPOO 1992, the first program of 1992. And yes, they're off to war. Again, they're throwing stones at Oliver Stone. As you know, who've listened to this program over the last several months, this program basically has been dealing with the issue of JFK, Martin Luther King, and Robert Kennedy. And today we're going to examine the movie JFK and the media's reaction to the movie. They're throwing stones at Oliver Stone. As Bob Dylan used to say, hey, everybody's gotta get stoned. And in the new issue of the Bay Guardian, they're throwing stones at Oliver Stone too. Why? Who knows? Guess I'll have to interview Bruce Brugman on the program, find out why. But when JFK was killed, what did Bruce do? Nothing. When RFK was killed, what did Bruce do? Nothing. When Martin Luther King was killed, what did Bruce do? Nothing. So when somebody makes a movie about part of it, Bruce Brugman runs an attack on the movie. What is it that Bruce Brugman and George Bush have in common? They don't want you to see the JFK movie. Why? Well, maybe it raises painful, repressed questions in their mind. They're in denial about something that happened and they want you to see it. In fact, Bush was on the air the other day, first day of the new year. He was saying that he hasn't seen JFK, not gonna go see JFK. I don't want you to go see JFK. And I believe the Warren Commission report. Well, that is George Bush's duty to believe the Warren Commission report. In fact, there is a loyalty test in the United States if you're gonna be a journalist, except on stations like KPOO. In fact, a caveat here, the opinions expressed on this program are those solely of the author and not of the radio station KPOO. This is a free speech station, and they allow me to say what I think, which is apparently a new idea in America, but I suppose we could get used to some freedom of speech in the United States. Anyhow, so George Bush makes the comment that he hasn't seen the movie, and he believes in the Warren Commission report that Lee Harvey Oswald did it. Well, see, George Bush has to believe in that for two reasons. One, because George Bush was directly involved in the assassination of John Kennedy, and I can prove it. And I'll tell you a secret, I can't say that in public unless I can prove it. That's criminal slander to say something like that about the President of the United States unless it's true. Truth is a defense, and I can prove it. So, Bush has a duty, just like Richard Nixon has a duty, to believe in the Warren Commission report. And it's interesting to see the public's reaction to the movie. I've been out at the movie theaters where it's showing. I and about 30 supporters have been leafleting at all the theaters in California where the movie's being shown, passing out the pictures of the actual assassins of John Kennedy, E. Howard Hunt, and Frank Sturgis. And the public's reaction has been great, overwhelming. They didn't fall for the Bay Guardian, don't go see the movie stuff. The public is going to see it because they're wondering why everybody's attacking the movie. New York Times ran an article recently saying, what is this? Why is Warner Pictures allowing trash like this to be published, shown? It's a terrible abomination to allow a movie like this, to fund a movie like this, to allow the truth to leak out. They're afraid of a meltdown if enough of the truth leaks out, I guess. But the movie's doing quite well. It's, I even was leafleting at a theater in Novato, California, and the movie was sold out every time I was there. The theater was stuffed. And that's probably the reason it's going to get the award for best Screenplay of the Year. Now, I read the book. If you read the book and then go see the movie, it's an amazingly different experience. If you haven't read the book and you go to see the movie, it goes by too fast. I know somebody has seen the movie now three times, had to go back three times to try and understand the movie. So, but if you read the book, you'll be able to understand it much better, I believe. Anyhow, if you like copies of the book, by the way, the bookstores, it's available in, the book's basically banned in the United States. And the book is called On the Trail of the Assassins, and it's available at Marcus Books at Fillmore and Geary, and Forrester Books at 16th and Valencia. Other than that, you can't find it in the Bay Area. And if you read the book and then go see the play, you can see why it's going to get the award. Best Screenplay of the Year, Best Actor, Best Picture, Best Director. This movie is a tsunami wave. It's going to creep along in society through 1992, and then towards November 22nd, 1992, or just before the elections, it's going to burst out into the public consciousness and cause George Bush not only to lose the 1992 election, but George Bush, I predict, hey, my New Year's prediction, I predict George Bush would go to jail in 1992 for the assassination of John Kennedy. And by the way, if you want to help put George Bush in jail, we have a petition that is available. Send us a self-addressed stamped envelope. The petition is calling for reopening the investigation into who killed John Kennedy and reopening all the files from Dallas, especially the photos showing E. Howard Hunt and Frank Sturgis arrested in Dallas, Texas, the Dallas Police Department files showing Bernard Barker, Eugenio Martinez, Felix Rodriguez, George Bush's right-hand man, arrested in Dallas, Texas the day of the assassination. All of these people were seen by eyewitnesses running from the various buildings and grassy knoll after they shot Kennedy. So our petition calls for reopening the JFK assassination and reopening the Watergate investigation. Why the Watergate? Because on the Watergate tapes, there are 4,000 hours on the Watergate tapes, 4,000 hours of American history, 4,000 hours of Nixon was secretly taping. And how many hours of those have been released? Only 36, because when Congress was listening to the tapes, they discovered that Nixon was openly talking about how Nixon and Hunt and Bush assassinated John Kennedy. So they had to put the 4,000 hours of tapes in the same safe that they put the pictures from Dallas in to keep the public from finding out the role of Richard Nixon and George Bush in the assassination. So we're petitioning Congress to release those files. Those files belong to the American public. They were paid for by the taxpayers of this country, and we want the files. And listen here, George, we won't take no. Read my lips. Send us a self-addressed stamped envelope, P.O. Box 422-644, San Francisco 94142. 1992 is going to be a great year. We've got Bush on the run. We've got Nixon on the run. Those two turkeys will be lucky if they are out of jail at the end of 92. And let's see. Oh, by the way, on the Watergate tapes, you may have heard the program 2 weeks ago in which I interviewed a former liaison officer with the CIA who, when he was working in the White House, was in charge of the tapes. And he said this: Nixon could not have gotten his hands on the original tapes to erase them. That the original tape, and this is true, when I was in the Navy, I used to do taping, and we would keep the original. Nobody was allowed to touch it. We would make copies from it, and then people used the copies, but nobody was allowed to touch the original. So he said that they used to take the original tape from the White House, make three copies, and then give one copy to the president, one copy to the NSA, and the original was stuck in Iron Mountain, which is a huge underground storage area in Virginia. And so we know, and then when the Watergate investigation was going on, this liaison officer, Fletcher Prouty, went to Sam Dash and said, hey, Nixon couldn't have had the originals. We still have the originals, and there's no 18-minute gap on our copy. Would you like to hear it? Sam Dash just winked and said, I don't think so. You know, we don't need that right now. You know, it's causing too much trouble. Why don't we just forget about it? So that's why we want to reopen the files. Okay, did you see the movie? If you didn't see the movie, go read the book. And then go see the movie. What a roller coaster ride. 3-hour roller coaster ride. I took a tape recorder with me and tape recorded several sections of the movie. And on the next program, I will play excerpts from it. But you have to do that because the movie goes so fast. It's so powerful. It's so incredible. And you don't want to miss some of the good stuff. Okay. That was the movie review. And now for a short musical break.
The people just don't want to know. I'll ease the pain and ease my mind. And lose it all in rot, rot wine.
Excuse me, Sonny. Do you happen to know what the defense budget was for 1982?
$700 million a day. Excuse me, but I got to go.
I'd like to call my daughter in Dar es Salaam. Yeah. Do you happen to know what time it is in Tanzania?
12 hours later than it is here. That woman is crazy. I'll see you later, ma'am.
It seems like you already know where that there is.
What good is knowledge or the facts?
If you know, then you must act. When the armies of the night are drawing near, people got to hear this warning.
People don't want to know.
But you can...
Yes. Do people want to know? Well, I sort of suspect people do want to know. That's why I take the time to speak. That's why I take the time to write. That's why I take the time to make videotapes and write books. If you would like to take a look at any of the material we have, just send a self-addressed stamped envelope and we'll forward it to you. By the way, Mark Lane has a new book out called Plausible Denial. And in the San Francisco, what is this, Chronicle? Yes. Of December 31st. There's an interesting article in which Mark Lane talks about that in the trial that he did, he was able to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that the assassins of John Kennedy were E. Howard Hunt. Now, he's not willing to go as far as I am and include Frank Sturgis, but that's because he knows he's got very strong evidence on Hunt. We also have very strong evidence on George Bush, and we have very strong evidence on Richard Nixon's role. The actual assassination was a crossfire of three teams of shooters. Each team had two riflemen and one communications person. So there were two people shooting from the grassy knoll, two people shooting from the Texas School Book Depository, and one communication person at each point, and then two people shooting from the Dal Tex building. That's basically made in the movie, the points made in the movie. Now, one of the points made in the movie that you will not understand unless you read something about this before you see the movie is about the tramps and also the fake photos on the cover of Life magazine. In the movie, they constantly show these three men walking along, being arrested by the Dallas police from behind the grassy knoll, arrested in a boxcar behind the grassy knoll. But they don't point out who these people are very specifically. The movie is like a collection of facts thrown at you in graphic form. It's a collage. It's a beautiful... As a matter of fact, this movie is a work of art. And if you can't hear the sound, if you get the video copy of it and you play it on your tube and turn off the sound, or if you're deaf and you go to the theater and watch it, That's an incredibly graphic movie. That it's like a work of art. It's like Oliver Stone with a multicolored paintbrush creating a masterpiece of graphics and colors and hypnotic movement of the camera. The most, is there a nomination for most artistic film without sound? Because if there was, that would win it. It's an incredible rainbow of graphics. That was my experience of watching it. I was thinking, my God, you could watch this movie without the sound and enjoy it. And in the movie, they show these three tramps, three plumbers being arrested. And then they don't name them, which to me was the only part that was bad in the movie. Is that they didn't get into... I worked somewhat on the movie. When the movie was being produced, I called up Stone's office and told them what we had in the way of actual hard factual evidence. And some of it they had not heard of or seen. They asked me to send it, and I sent it, and they sent me a nice thank you letter, but they didn't use it, especially the stuff on Nixon. But the tramp photos are the most important part of the movie, and yet that was the weakest part of the movie. Stone didn't go as far as Mark Lane or Jack Anderson or Bob Woodward or myself in naming E. Howard Hunt and Frank Sturgis and Richard Nixon and George Bush in the assassination of John Kennedy. But that's okay. In fact, in the Chronicle article in which they're interviewing Mark Lane, he criticizes Stone for backtracking on naming Hunt in the movie. It's okay for Lane to criticize him, but Lane has to realize the movie has to be out there. I mean, we are lucky that Stone made the movie, and we're even luckier that Stone is still alive and the movie is playing. I personally did not think the movie would come out. In fact, when I first heard it was being produced, I thought it would be stopped somewhere along the way and would never be shown. One of the reasons I bought hundreds of copies of the book and made them available to people and to bookstores, and also started doing this program, because I knew Stone was going to need a lot of support, since he wouldn't get any support from the media. And I never expected the Bay Guardian and the San Francisco Weekly to throw stones at Stone, but they did. And then Mark Lane criticizing, not realizing that Stone had a very difficult position. You know, here he's going to reach millions of people with an idea. Is he going to offer the whole loaf, or is he going to offer the half loaf? Hey, he did great with JFK 1. Let's just encourage him to do JFK 2 now. JFK 1 opens up the whole debate, and the best part of the movie was Stone calling for reopening the files. So the movie has a tremendous impact in the United States by encouraging people to get involved in petitioning to reopen the files. Those files belong to the American public. We can reopen them, and we are going to. It's only a matter of time now. Every person that's been involved in the investigation over the years is excited by this movie and moving. It was called recently by somebody who's produced a petition along this line, and they sent me 1,000 copies of the petition. So if you want a copy of the petition, I'll give you our P.O. box again. It's P.O. box 422644, San Francisco 94142. And now it's time for another musical break.
Armies of the night are drawing near.
so refreshing to hear the San Francisco Mime Troupe playing that beautiful history. Aren't they amazing? Did you see the play they did, Back to Normal? They may crank that play Back to Normal up and run it during the 1992 election and go nationwide with it. They're going to rewrite some of the sections on the war, but otherwise they're going to go nationwide with Back to Normal. It'll be exciting to see the Mime Troupe out there. And more in the news. When Oliver Stone did the movie JFK, he blamed the military-industrial complex for the assassination of John Kennedy. When Mark Lane was being interviewed in the Chronicle, he said that Stone made a mistake not blaming the CIA specifically and instead spreading the blame out amongst the military-industrial complex. Well, that's an important debate, so let's look at both sides of it. Who killed John Kennedy? Was it the CIA, or was it the military-industrial complex? Or are both answers correct, only depending on how you look at it? If the CIA had killed John Kennedy, and you were going around saying the CIA killed John Kennedy, it would be easy for Bush to disassociate himself from that CIA just by saying, oh, it's some rogue element, some minor group in the CIA that killed John Kennedy, and those people have now all been reprimanded. They were sent to Acapulco to do time there, or they had their wrists slapped in some other way, or they've all died now. So it would be easy to get out of who killed John Kennedy. I mean, that was 28 years ago. But if what we're seeing in America now in 1992 is a Hamlet play on a broad stage, if we're seeing an awakening in the American public to realize that sitting on the throne in Washington, D.C. is a false king, as in Hamlet, a false king who killed the true king, not only did he kill John Kennedy, but he killed Martin Luther King to try and break the anti-war movement and the civil rights movement. And then he killed Robert Kennedy to try and break the anti-war movement and the civil rights movement. Plus, George Bush and Richard Nixon, the CIA, smuggled in massive amounts of heroin and spread them through our population. And now, with the help of Manuel Noriega, they've been spreading cocaine through the population to poison us and destroy the American mind so that we're simply pieces of clay in the hands of the bankers. Now, if that's the true history that we're awakening to, then just blaming the CIA is not adequate. And maybe Mark Lane is focus is too narrow and Oliver Stone's focus is more correct. And I tell you, if I was going to make a movie, I would sure prefer it be made to name the military-industrial complex behind the assassination of John Kennedy rather than just some rogue element in the CIA, even though E. Howard Hunt is still alive and we should get somebody to issue a subpoena for his arrest before the CIA decides to liquidate him. And we should get a subpoena for the arrest of Richard Nixon. Go down to his library there in Orange County and subpoena Richard Nixon out of the library and put him on trial for the murder of John Kennedy. Arrest him, arrest Nixon, arrest Bush for the murder, and put them on trial. And then test the evidence that we claim to have. Test whether or not we can prove their involvement. Just because you arrest somebody and put them on trial doesn't necessarily mean they're guilty. And I'm sure that Richard Nixon can afford to hire a lawyer. So it would be an interesting debate. And then they may fess up and say, well, yes, it's true. We killed John Kennedy, but we did it because we were asked to do it by Pepsi-Cola. I mean, look at, you know, Kennedy was allowing Fidel Castro to raise prices in Cuba on the sugar, and so Pepsi-Cola was losing profits. The bottom line was suffering. And That's why we killed John Kennedy. In fact, at the recent Pan Am Games in the Olympics, a television newsman interviewed Fidel Castro and asked Fidel Castro where Castro was when John Kennedy was killed. Fidel Castro said, "You know, I had just received a special communique from President John Kennedy, which called for total normalization of relations between the United States and Cuba. There was going to be open trade, open cultural exchanges, free travel between Cuba and the United States. And I was sitting in my office reading this, talking to my aides, saying, what wonderful news. Kennedy is going to normalize relations next month." And 5 minutes later, one of my secretaries walked in and said, "I have some very bad news. President Kennedy has just been killed." And so then when the CIA would ever talk about assassinations, they would always say, "Well, yes, we had a plan to assassinate world leaders like Fidel Castro." When they were talking about Fidel Castro, they weren't talking about Fidel Castro alone. They were talking about John Kennedy and Fidel Castro. But now, since Kennedy's dead, they don't have to talk about him anymore. They can just talk about their next target. That's the way the actual military-industrial complex was involved in planning and carrying out the assassination of John Kennedy. It was on a broader scale, having to do with political reasons. Ask yourself, why was John Kennedy killed? On the next program, I'm going to deal in detail on why John Kennedy was killed. But if you would like some more information, we've got this written out. We'll gladly send it to you. Just send us a self-addressed stamped envelope to P.O. Box 422-644, San Francisco 94142. And the next program, next week on both Tuesday and Thursday, Tuesday 7:30 a.m., Thursday 10 a.m., we'll deal with more specifics on the assassination of Martin Luther King and Robert Kennedy, because Oliver Stone's movie now allows us to reopen the whole three investigations. And it now allows somebody in Hollywood to make a movie on the assassination of Martin Luther King and Robert Kennedy. So, now for a little music, and this has been Reality Sandwich with Paul Kangas. Thank you very much. And by the way, send some donations to KPOO. Thank you.
Survive.